bring our Bible, I want to say sorry because I have allergy reactions. I can't control my allergy reactions, even though I took Benadryls. And I know that the side effect is kind of sleepy, but since I'm taking a lot recently, I'm not sleepy anymore. So I'm wide awake, and pray for me so that I'm going to be fine. Our text is from Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. And then we've been looking at the book of Matthew. We're taking some parables of Jesus Christ and learning about the parable of Jesus Christ. This is our fourth time, which is the last time we'll be changing our theme in May, as May starts. And James Sunday and Cadet Sunday, other things coming up. So we're going to pick different texts. But today is the last day of the parable of Jesus Christ from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 and 30. If you want to listen to other sermon series, you can definitely visit to the website, and there are other series on the website. Before reading our text, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us here and helping us to understand your holy word. We thank you so much for our text that we are about to open, Matthew 25. The parable of the talents. Lord, we pray that you shine us and shine our minds and thoughts so that we'll be able to understand, we'll be able to get more treasures from this Bible. We'll be able to focus on Jesus Christ, nothing else but only Jesus Christ through this text. We also pray that would you please be with me and bless my lips and so that I can only speak about Jesus Christ, nothing else, only speak the truth of Jesus Christ from the text, the Lord, so that we all will be in your mercy and grace. We all experience your mighty power, the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts right now at this moment. So we pray all these things, your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The parable of the talents from Matthew 25. This is the word of God. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave five talents, to another one two, to another one, to another one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. So also he had had two talents, made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, and saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here I have made five talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the two talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here I have made two talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the one talent came forward and said, Master, I know you be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scared no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And in my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast a worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of God. In our text, we see that Jesus begins his teaching by saying, in verse 14, "For it will be like." Now, this phrase indicates that Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God. He has been teaching about the kingdom of God in chapter 25. The kingdom of God will be like this. That's what he wants to say. Then he tells a parable here in our text. The parable of talents is actually the second parable in Matthew 25. Now, Matthew records three parables in 25. The first one is the parable of the 10 virgins, which is verse 1 to 13. The second one is the parable of the talents, which is our text today, verses 14 and 30. The last one is the parable of the final judgment, in verses 31 to 46. Now, we see, although these Jesus' parables are different, you know, different parables in Matthew 25, these three parables share a common theme, which is the kingdom of God, and all these parables talk about the responsibility of the servants while the master is away. That is kind of background of all these parables, or when the master comes back, what will happen, which is verse 31 to 46. So, Jesus teaches his disciples to remind them of their responsibility as God's people. All these parables also help us to teach us, encourage us, in our responsibility when Jesus comes, until Jesus returns. So all these parables in Matthew 25 are very, very special and practical. Well, we'll see what will happen to us. Now, the parable of the talents in our text is also found in Luke 19, verses 11 to 27. Maybe you can read it later. We find some minor differences between Luke and Matthew, but a major storyline is the same. It talks about the master and the three servants. Let's talk about the master, what happened to him. Now, Jesus begins his parable by telling the absence of the master in verse 14. Now, for it will be like a man going on a journey, it says verse 14. See, we know that Jesus is now talking about his future departure through the verse 14. Now, he's indicating that I'll be gone. And then after his resurrection, that is kind of implying here in verse 14. Now, as a master was ready to make his journey, now he decided to distribute, give away, not just freely, but his belongings to his servants. So verse 14, so he called his servants and entrusted to them his property. Now, literal translation of verse 14 will be like this. He called his servants and handed over what belonged to him. So that's kind of rough translation of verse 14. Now, from this story, we see that Jesus indicates that the master was a very rich man. So he was able to hand it over what was belonged to him. In verse 21 and 23 even, he said that he considered 5 talents and 2 talents as little. So we understand that he's a very rich person. Now, we discussed about the value of 1 talent, I think 2 weeks ago. Now, when we read the parable of the unforgiving servant, we learn that 1 talent equals 6,000 denarii. Do you follow me? And then 1 denarii was a man's daily wages. So if you work, you can get 1 denarii. So 1 talent is 6,000 denarii. So to save all these 6,000 denarii, one person has to work for 16 years. So if you need 1 talent to have 1 talent in your pocket, in your bank account, you need to work, not using any penny. You have to work all entire 16 years, then you can have 1 talent. So this is a great amount of money. So master considered 5 talent as little. That means he's kind of rich person in the story. That means he actually did not need his servant's help to get more profit. But interestingly, the text tells us that this rich master graciously distributed his belongings to his servants. Now you notice that the master didn't just give things away. Rather, he carefully gave his property to the servants. In verse 15, he says, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. The word ability in Greek means power and capability, something that we can do. The same word is found in Acts chapter 1 and 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So biblical understanding of the power, the ability, is not ours. It comes from God, from our Father in heaven. Now here in the story, although the master gave his property to each servant according to his their ability, we should not miss that all their, even their abilities, also came from God. Therefore, since everything came from God, there's nothing for them to boast, to brag about it. The same spiritual principle applies actually to ourselves. In Romans chapter 12, even 1 Corinthians 12, talks about different gifts and different spiritual gifts, such as serving and teaching, encouraging, even giving, mercy, and the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and faith, even in the first century, speaking in tongues. These are all different gifts, all different things from God given to us. But the important thing is, this is not ours, but God's gift. Even Ephesians chapter 2 and 8, Paul talks about God's grace. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. This is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So, based on their ability, but even their abilities comes from God, the master gave different talents to his servants. The first servant received 5 talents. Let's do the math a little bit. 5 talents means 30,000 denarii. So 30,000 denarii equals 82 years of work. 82 years. Not using any penny, but save up 82 years. I don't know how much you would save for 82 years, but it will be a couple of million dollars or a couple of $1 billion, and we cannot imagine that money. The first servant received the immeasurable amount of money from his master. That is what Jesus is describing. The same applies to the second one. He received 2 talents, which will be 32 years of his working. 32 more years. What about the last one? Unfortunately, he only received 1 talent. It looks like nothing. But we should not forget the value of 1 talent. We already talked about it. He received 1 talent, which means 16 years of his salary. So all 3 servants received great, great, great amount of money from their master. That is unbelievable. And from his story, we remember God's grace as well. You know, we receive God's grace. That is, we cannot measure God's grace. We cannot imagine how big it is, how big it is, his grace upon us. And after distributing his belongings, the master went away for a long time, making a journey. And then Jesus tells about 3 different servants. Let's talk about the first 2, the good and faithful servants. Now the story quickly turns to what the first 2 servants did when their master gave them money, which is verses 16 and 18. The first servants acted quickly. That's a very interesting point. Now verse 16, it says, he who had received the 5 talents went at once. Now these 2 words, at once, is actually found in verse 15 in Greek text. That means is immediately. Now, although this word is found in verse 15, I think scholars move that word into 16 because it more understandable goes with the verse 16. So the ESV and other contemporary English Bibles move the word immediately to verse 16, which is right. So the servant who received the five talents act really quickly, immediately. We see that the first servant did not want to waste his time at all. So he acted quickly to invest his master's money. And verse 16 reads, traded with them. So we know what he did. The literal translation of this phrase will be, he worked with them. He worked with master's money. The first servant worked really hard with the master's money. He worked diligently to get profit out of his master's money. That means he did not waste his time. He did not waste his master's money at all. Eventually, he doubled his master's money, which is really great. From this short verse, verse 16, we see the nature of the first servant. Who can do that? I mean, you received a couple of million dollars from your master, and what do you do? From this verse 16, what we can imagine about him is he's really faithful. He was a faithful servant. He was a good steward. There's no doubt why the master entrusted his money to the first servant. The master knew about him. Master knew that he was a faithful servant. Our text tells that the second servant did the same thing. Now, he did not receive like a first servant. He got only two talents. However, what he did was the same like the first servant. Now, verse 17, our ESV says, so also he who had the two talents made the two talents more. This is very plain here, but we understand what the second servant did from verse 17. But ESV does not fully carry the meaning of what he did. And in the original language, verse 17 begins with one word. I'm not going to read it in Greek, but the one word means in the same way. So verse 17 begins in the same way. The second servant did was something for his master. So the RSV reads more close to the original text. It says, in the same way, the one who had two talents made two more talents. The second servant, interestingly, did the same thing. Like the first servant, he worked really hard with his master's money. He did not waste any second, any time, any money. And he worked diligently for his master. And he also doubled the master's money. Surely, like the first servant, he was a faithful servant. He was a good steward, and the master knew about him. Now, the story of these two servants brings us a question. What about me? Am I a faithful servant? Now, we should not miss one thing from Jesus' story. Jesus is not talking about how much we are bringing to God. It's not the quantity of the money. But rather, he's talking about stewardship, faithfulness. Like the servants in the story, we cannot deny that we have received so many things from God. All our spiritual gifts, explained in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, came from God. Even all the blessings and material blessings that we have came from the sovereign God. It is right to say from Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and fullness thereof, the world and there those who dwell in. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. So did you know that, this truth? God has entrusted you and me with so many things that we don't know sometimes. God has entrusted you and me with so many talents for his kingdom. Then another question is, then what do we do with his blessings? What do we do with his talents that we have? Are we really his faithful servants? Are we really good stewards? I guess only you can answer these questions. In verse 19, the scene quickly changed. It says, now after a long time. Now, Jesus does not tell how many years, but the text indicates that the master gave them enough time to spend his money, to make money, to work really hard with his money. Then finally he returned. So from this story, we will imagine that Jesus will return. He's talking about his returning here as well. And the master finally returned, and as soon as he came, he called his servants to settle accounts with them. That's a typical story from the Bible we talked about a few weeks ago. Notice that in verse 20 and 22, they're almost the same except the amount of talents. It is what the servants said to the master. The first two servants reported the same, exactly the same thing, what they did with their master's money. And firstly, he said they reported how much they received from the master. Remember that how much they received. They mentioned 5 and 2. And then they reported how much they gained for the master. Both of them doubled their master's money. Surely the master was happy about their deeds and their faithfulness. So, master blessed them with more in verse 21 and 23. What is said to the servants is actually amazing. In verse 21 and 23, he said, well done, good and faithful servants. As I was studying in our text, I read an interesting article about describing the first ancient world, it was not a common practice for the master to praise the servant's deeds in the ancient world. The masters, they don't praise their servants. Now, the servants were required to do the hard work to bring more profits for their masters. That's kind of the common culture at the time. So, the masters, they don't praise their servants. What these two servants in the story did for the master was considered a normal thing. They had to do it. It means they did not deserve their master's praise at all. But interestingly, in our story, the master highly praised his faithful servants, not only praising their work, but also master gave them more. And in verse 20 and 23, it says, you have been faithful over little, I will set you over much. The master did not praise for how much they made, but he praised for their faithfulness over a little thing. Now, since they were faithful over a little thing, the more things given to them, that's how the kingdom of God works. That's not the end of the story. The master said, enter into the joy of your master. What else we need if we're going to join with our master? These two faithful stewards received a great honor to be part of their master's joy. Surely this phrase indicates that eschatological, which is the last things happen to us, that when Jesus comes, he will invite to his feast. The faithful stewards are invited to be part of God's kingdom. That's part of the story. Then what about the third servant? Now, compared to the first two servants, the third servant did not get much. He received only one talent according to his ability. Now, he could have worked really hard with his master's money like the other servants, but unfortunately, he chose to act differently. In verse 18, But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money, which is very interesting. We may think that he did wrong because he just buried his master's money. But what he did was actually not a bad thing at all. Now, hiding a valuable thing under the ground was a common practice in the ancient world. So they did it. They hid something. So what he did was like a considered a normal action to save his master's money. But however, the issue is here is not about hiding the valuable talent, but his laziness, his unfaithfulness to his servant, to his master. The third servant knew that the master said to the other servants about, well done, good and faithful. The master praised their faithfulness, and then the other two servants worked really hard, and they made double portion of master's money. So he heard everything before him. By hearing his master's words, the third servant surely realized at that point his failure because he didn't make anything. So he had to justify his action. He needed to defend his failure. That's why he said, Master, listen, I knew that you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. Basically, he was saying, look, I did the right thing. I tried to save your money. Yeah, I know I didn't make profit, but I secured your money. So I did the right thing. But however, the master knew his heart. In verse 26, and he said, you wicked and slothful servant, which means lazy. The master rebuked him for his laziness. We know that he received one talent according to his ability. The Bible says that. That means the third one, he was able to do something to make money, to make profits out of master's money. But the thing is, unfortunately, he decided not to do anything. The master knew that part. The third servant dug a hole and he hid money. He didn't work hard at all. Yes, he was unfaithful. Yes, he was lazy. That's why the master called him, you wicked. And he was a bad, bad steward. The master knew everything about his unfaithfulness. In verse 30, so he called him as worthless, the worthless servant, which is very shocking to hear. Then the master took his talent and then gave it to the first servant. And he said, verse 29, for to everyone who has will be given, more given, will be more given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. The word talent, the Greek word talent in our text is the root of the common English word talent, in the sense of special gift or skill that we have. The word teaches us that what we have is actually not ours. It's gift. Gift from God. At the beginning of his parable, Jesus clearly speaks of how the kingdom of God looks like while he is away. God entrusts many, many things, many gifts, sometimes immeasurable gifts to you and me that we have. And we are his servants. Like three different servants, God's gifts for us will be differently given to us according to our abilities. It will be the gifts of teaching and preaching. It will be the gifts of serving others, or the gift of sharing, or even more, giving. Now the thing is that no matter how much or how little we have God's gift in you, we all have received many, many gifts from God. That's James chapter 1 and verse 17. So not everybody has been entrusted with the same amounts. But the thing is that one must be faithful. Faithful with what one has been given. That's the framework of this teaching. Then the question that we should ask ourselves is that, what do we do with God's entrusted gifts in us? Are we faithful to use and to work hard with God's gift? Now, our text is talking about the stewardship with money. But what about the stewardship of our time? What about other talents you have? Are we using our resources to serve God and His kingdom? Let's talk about Christian stewardship. Christian stewardship is not only giving the tenth of our gross income to God. We know that is what God taught us, giving the tenth of our gross income to God. But the Christian stewardship is about recognizing the sovereign God who gives us everything what we have. Everything in the world belongs to God. It's not yours, not mine. Everything in the world belongs to God, the sovereign God. God is the owner of everything in the world, even our life, even our bodies and our time, even our material blessings. So the conclusion is we must be faithful with what we have. We must be faithful with what God has entrusted us. And a Christian stewardship is not putting ourselves first and seeking things for ourselves, but following the steps of the Master, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul talks about it in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, and humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of the death. This is what Jesus did for us. He emptied himself, he humbled himself, and he gave his life to us to give us eternal life. Jesus emptied himself for us to save us from our sins. He humbled himself for us to give us his amazing grace. But isn't it true that we still fill our hearts with something, with a selfish ambition? Not like emptying ourselves and humbling ourselves, but filling something in our hearts with something, selfish ambition. Then the question is, like from the story, what if Jesus comes right now? What would you say to him? Lord, you have entrusted me with all these wonderful gifts. Look, I have been working really hard with your blessings. So I use your gifts for your kingdom, for your church, for your people. For the sake of the gospel, I did it. Or, Lord, I know you gave me some gifts, Jesus finishes his parable with the word of judgments in verse 30, which is very striking. Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In the place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. brothers and sisters, God has graciously entrusted many things to you and me. Our jobs, our family, our friends, our spiritual gifts, our material blessings, our church, the New Hope Christian Reformed Church that we are here today. Even His grace through His Son. So what would you want to hear when Jesus comes to us? What would you hear from Him? Would you want to hear what the faithful servant heard? Well done, good and faithful. You have been faithful over a little thing and enter into the joy of my kingdom. Or, wicked. Wicked and lazy one you are. Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, Jesus says, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. Now I want to throw two questions and I want to wrap up my sermon today. By listening all this story, three different servants, we should ask this question to ourselves. Am I a good and faithful steward? Look at us. Look around us. Look at your neighbors and look into your hearts. And you know the answer. Am I a good and faithful steward? I know that God has given to me these things. Am I using His gifts? Or, no, this is something that I want to have. Maybe I can share later. Maybe I can do something later. What about this question? Am I faithful with a little? I don't know why the last servant didn't do anything. Maybe, as he said, he was afraid of the master's judgment. But probably he thought, why? Why? Only one talent. What's wrong with me? Why this guy has five talents? Why that person has two talents? Why not me? He was not satisfied with what he had. What about you and me? Are we faithful with little compared to others? We don't have money. Our jobs are no good at all. And our houses kind of no good. And people are looking down on us. But still we have God's gifts in us. What is your answer for these questions? Jesus said, cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In the place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Surely we don't want to go that place, but we want to go the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the story that we just heard. Lord, we pray that this particular story will be like a mirror to us, not looking at somebody else, but look at ourselves and see ourselves how much we have from you. Not only knowing that we have a lot of gifts from you, but help us to use it, to share it, to give it to the others for your kingdom. Lord, we pray for our church. We have so many good spiritual gifts for our church. Would you please use our church to share the gospel, to enhance the kingdom of God here in the Spokane area. Lord, use us and bless us and be with us. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.